The story of King Runti Dev. He came in a dynasty of Bharat Maharaj and Bharadwaj. He was such a famous king that he was glorified even by the demigods and the human beings both. He would accept whatever he got by the arrangement of God. And whatever he had, he would offer to his guests. And obviously, his family underwent lots of hardship. He and his wives were very skinny, or his wife, but he was always sober. One morning after fasting for 48 days, some food was brought to him, some water and some food made from milk and ghee. Then suddenly a Brahmin guest arrived, Atithi Narayan. Runti Dev received the guest with great respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmin guest ate what was offered and left. Then Runti Dev gave the remaining food to his family members and sat down to eat his portion. And then a second Atithi Narayan, uninvited guest, arrived. The first one was a Brahmin. The next one was a Shudra. But King Runti Dev could see everyone's relationship with the Supreme Lord, so he also gave him a share of his food. Then the Shudra went away. Then a Chandala arrived, surrounded by dogs. And he said, "King, I and my dogs are hungry. Give us something to eat." So whatever remaining food, he gave to the dog and the owners and offered them all respect. To the dogs and their owner. And the king saw that only some drinking water remained, hardly enough to satisfy one person. As he was about to quench his thirst, it says a Chandala came. I guess the man with dogs is whatever he was. And then a fourth person came, a Chandala. So there was a Brahmana, a Shudra, a man with dogs, and a Chandala. "He sounded very thirsty. Can I have something to drink?" So Runti Dev said, "Certainly," and he was praying at that time. He said, "I don't want anything from the Lord. I don't pray for ostracities or mukti. I just want to stay with the conditioned souls and suffer along with them, so that the conditioned souls may be freed from their miseries. By offering my remaining water to maintain the life of this poor Chandala, I have actually become freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, sadness, distress, lamentation, illusion." Runti Dev was actually on the verge of death due to thirst, but he didn't hesitate to distribute his water to the Chandala, because he was kind by nature. Then, all of these four personalities who came, the Brahmana, the Shudra, the dog owner, and the Chandala, they revealed that they were great demigods. They came to test him, and they were ready to offer benedictions for his great behavior, but he simply respected them and fixed his mind on Vishnu's feet. By his good association, all the officers, friends, relatives, and citizens followed the example of Runti Dev and became first-class devotees of the Lord. This is told in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna talks about great men, the Shrestas, the Shrestha, great leaders, respectable leaders, in the third chapter, Karma Yoga, verse 21, Krishna tells Arjuna about the nature of great personalities like King Runti Dev. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tad evetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anavartate. Arjuna, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. All the world follows in his footsteps. Loka anuvartate. The prayer of King Runti Dev. coming in a dynasty of Bharat, which is contained in 9th canto, chapter 21, verse 12. It's a very beautiful meditation for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Kripambudi, Vaishnavas, an ocean of mercy, Krunamayi, compassion for the fallen souls, always trying to speak and act, and encourage and condition souls to live spiritually centered lives, to serve God and realize God and love God and go to God. This prayer is very nice. Nakamayeham Gatamishvarat Param Ashtaridhi Yuktam Apunar Bhavam Bha Artim Prapadye Kila Deha Bhajam Antakstito Yena Pavant Yadu Yaduka. King Ranti Dev said, I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, for the eight perfections of mystic yoga, Nakamayeham Gatamishvarat Param Ashtaridhi Yuktam. And I don't pray for salvation from repeated birth and death, Apuna Bhavam. I only want to stay among the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf so that they may be freed from all suffering. Antastita Bhavanti Aduka. I want to stay among the people, Akila Deha Bhajam. I want to stay with the humans, the people, the living entities, and help them become free from distress and free from unhappiness. So Vaishnava is described as being Paraduka Duki. He's very much aggrieved by the sufferings of others. Thus, a Vaishnava, out of his heart's compassion, he engages in activities for the real welfare of human society. Shukadeva Goswami summarizes the life of King Ranti Dev for Maharaj Parikshit, and he says in verse 17 of chapter 21, Ishvaralambanam chittam kurvaton nanya radasa maya gunamayi rajan svapnavat pratiliyata. O Parikshit Maharaj, because King Ranti Dev was a pure devotee, Ishvara Alambanam, he took complete shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Chitta Kurvato Ananya Radasa. His chitta, his consciousness, was completely fixed on the Lord, and he was undeviating and desired nothing other than to serve the Supreme Lord. He was always Krishna conscious and free from all material desires. And thus, the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, Gunamayi Maya, the illusory energy made of the three modes of nature, for him, Maya entirely vanished, exactly like a dream. Swapnavat Pratiliyata. It simply merged into a dream, total forgetfulness, no impact, no influence. This is the power of Krishna consciousness. So one would like to pray to King Ranti Dev and pray that, oh King Ranti Dev, please bless me that I can always remember, keep Krishna in my mind and always be Krishna conscious, and like you, then I can surpass the powerful influence of Maya. Maya metam tarantite. They go, oh, King Rantidev, you are so Krishna conscious. You are not under the influence of Maya, this illusory energy. It's like a dream for you. Let me wake up to Krishna consciousness, jiv jago, jiv jago, and let all my experiences and desires and activities in a world of illusion fade into oblivion as one wakes up in the morning and forgets the illusory dream he had the night before. When one is under Maya, he makes many plans and schemes under illusion. But when one wakes up to Krishna consciousness, all his dreamlike plans automatically disappear. And more stories from the ninth canto describing the descendants of Bharat and Yadu. One great grandson of Bharadwaj was named King Hasti. He established the city of Hastinapur, and one of his descendants was Sharadvan. One time, Sharadvan, by chance, he met the heavenly damsel Urvasi, and he passed semen involuntarily, which fell on the ground and landed on some grass called Shara grass. Two auspicious children were born from that grass and his semen, a male and female. Later, Maharaj Shantanu was in the forest hunting, and he found these two babies lying on the ground. So he compassionately took them back to his palace. The male child became known as Kripa, and the female child was named Kripi. And Kripi later became the wife of Dronacharya. Quite an amazing birth from blade of grass. Coming in his line of descendants, was a king named Uparichara Vasu. He was the king of Chedi, which I think is the old name for Bihar. And he had a son, Brihadratta. And in one of his wives, he begot a son, but the son was in two halves. So when the two halves were born, the mother rejected them. And there was some demon named Jara. She joined them, the two halves, and that boy became Jarasand. Of course, Jarasand later became the emperor of that whole part of India, of Bihar, and attacked Krishna and Mathura so many times. And then there were some other descendants. One was Shantanu. And Shantanu had amazing mystic power. Maybe this is the origin of the term healing hands. They say he's a healer. He has a power of healing in his hands, or the healing touch. Maybe it originated here. Shantanu was so amazing that he had the power that simply by touching anyone, he could take an old person, turn them into a young person. So he had that power to make everybody happy by getting a young body to enjoy their senses, so he got the name Shantanu, which I guess means happy body. There was a drought for 12 years, and Shantanu asked the Brahmins, why is that? And he said, there's some fault in your rule. So he returned the kingdom to Devapi, and he went to the forest. And somehow later on he got back in power. Then Shantanu and his dynasty came, Ganga and Bhishma. Was so powerful, he even defeated Lord Parashuram in a fight. And talks about Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, and all these different descendants, Vidura, Ambika. Then it comes down to the Pandavas and the sons of the Pandavas and all kinds of descendants. There's a whole long description of so many descendants, lots of names and famous personalities. Kunti is mentioned. She got some benediction from Durvasa Muni. She could summon any demigod to beget children. So she was still a Kanya, a virgin. She tried out this benediction out of curiosity and called Vivishwan. So when the sun god came, he gave her a child, but he promised to keep her virginity. So the son was born from her ear. The son of Queen Kunti and the sun god became known as Karna, which means ear. And then talks about Devaki and Vasudev. And Vasudev and Devaki had a daughter named Subhadra. And then his elder, Nantasa, Balaram and Krishna perform any transcendental activities even Brahma and Shiva cannot understand. They're very beautiful and pleased everyone who saw them. No one could dare not to see them for a second. It was predicted that this personality would take birth on this earth. If anyone simply hears the glories of Krishna, he'll become freed from all his material desires and his karmic entanglement. This is basically how the ninth canto ends, and it begins with the tenth canto.